Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. It's been 1 week since George Floyd died with a Minneapolis police officer kneeling on his neck. Four officers on the scene were fired the next day, and by Friday, one of them had been charged with murder and manslaughter. Protests have been erupting all over the country, including in multiple cities in Illinois, Chicago, Aurora, Springfield, Peoria, Belleville, and more. In places, there was looting and violence as well. As we'll hear, some of that seemed to be linked to elements of the demonstrations, but in other cases, local officials have said it's been opportunistic, and protest organizers have sought to distance themselves from that activity. This is a fast-moving situation, and we'll continue to bring you updates and more in-depth conversations about not just the protests and violence, but the legacy of racism in America that led to this moment. For now, we're going to talk to several reporters around Illinois who've been covering what happened this weekend. Earlier this morning, I spoke with Matt Harvey from The Tribe, a Chicago-based digital media outlet aiming to, in its own description, reshape the narrative of Black Chicago. Matt was covering the protests in downtown Chicago on Saturday and Sunday. We spoke via Zoom. Matt, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me on.
So, Saturday. Let's start with Saturday night. I wonder if you can begin by telling me what was the vibe like in the, you know, in the afternoon protests, and then as sun starts to set, the city issues the curfew. You know, do things change? Take us there.
Yeah. It started around 2 p.m. was when I got there. It was at that point, I felt like the name of the game was noise. It was just protesters trying to, you know, basically make themselves heard vocally, playing. A lot of people had instruments and cars or honking horns. The people driving that were out there in support. It was pretty gridlocked, but at that point, it was maybe, I'd say, about 2,000-3,000 people gathered downtown at Daly Plaza. And then a little bit later, they started to migrate towards the bridge. The bridge that crosses over to the other side of the river where Magnificent Mile is, also the other side of the river where the or Trump Tower is. Mm-hmm. And that was when it started to get really contentious between police and protesters. That was when the police started to barricade people who were on the bridge already. It wouldn't allow them back off of it. The protesters ended up pushing back and the police retreated a little bit. That was around the time when it really started to become vandalism of like cars, police cars. They spray painted a police wagon and tried, almost toppled it. And from there, like as nightfall came, that was when things really descended into real chaos. The looting had started around 5, so there was still daylight, but it was around like, I'd say 8, 9 was when we really saw like major damage being done to pretty much most stores, most major establishments. These are places like Neiman Marcus, like Macy's, like the Nike store downtown, the major mall downtown, the Water Tower place. All these places were ransacked. And that was, and from there, it really descended into chaos. And the mayor ended up imposing a curfew at 9 p.m. that night.
And do you have a sense, and I know it can be so hard to tell when you're on the ground, but were the people who were, you know, protesting and making noise, is that the same people who were doing the damage? Or did it seem like, you know, because we've heard in other places about, you know, outsiders coming in and
yeah,
you know, things like that.
Yeah, I'd say that it was honestly a mix. I can't say that there. So most of the people that were there that ended up looting, were a lot of them were there earlier on for the protest. But there were definitely more people that entered the city, that entered Michigan Avenue specifically, that came to loot. Because while protests were going on the other side of the bridge, and while protests were honestly marching from down Lakeshore Drive, there were a lot of people that were already looting stores who had most likely come down there for different directions just to get down Michigan Avenue to get to those stores. So I'd say that it was, there were definitely some people who came down there just for looting.
And what kind of, you described a little bit already, but what kind of interactions did you see between police and protesters? Were the police being violent, or were they more restrained? I was trying. I did notice you had a tweet as people were going into Macy's. You said the police were posted up just up the block and didn't seem to be doing anything to try and stop it. But
yeah, and that was what you saw a lot when it came to the looting, especially. And it was interesting to me because it seemed like the police were way more combatant with the protesters that were not looting rather than the ones that the people that were down there that were. So I had seen a few stores, the entire Magnificent Mile where all these shopping these stores are, there were a lot of people looting those stores, and all the way on the end of the block about where the bridge lifted up, that was where all the police were just stationed, just sitting there. And honestly, it was interesting to watch, and not something I expected, but it seemed to be that they just didn't care to stop the looting at that point. Something that I've heard a lot of is that they were not ordered to do it because they know that a lot of these stores have insurance on the things that they have. So if anything would happen, these stores are reimbursed. So it wasn't worth the police lending their abilities to that. But when it came, it was a lot more contentious, honestly, when it came to the protesters who were marching the streets that weren't looting. They were tear gas thrown a couple times. There were some rubber bullets used. Pepper spray was definitely used, and you could smell it in the air. I definitely inhaled a bit of pepper spray and found myself coughing a lot when I was down there because of that. And so it was interesting to me to see that they were a lot more aggressive, it felt like, with protesters that were not actually looted.
Matt Harvey is a reporter with a Chicago-based news outlet, The Tribe. Matt, thanks so much for taking the time out of your day to be with us, and stay safe out there.
Of course. I appreciate it.
All right. I spoke with Matt earlier this morning. We're back live now with two other reporters who've been covering these events. Stacey St. Clair is with the Chicago Tribune. She was covering peaceful demonstrations in Aurora and the destructive rioting that came later in the day. Stacey, thanks for being on with us.
Thanks for having me.
And Kelsey Landis is with the Belleville News Democrat. She was covering protests in the Metro East region this weekend. Kelsey, thank you for being here as well.
Hi, Brian. Good to be here. Thanks.
So, Stacey, I'm going to begin with you. Can you start by taking us to the peaceful demonstrations in Aurora? You reported that the mayor even joined in with the demonstrators.
The police chief in Aurora, Kristen Zeman, even invited protesters to come to the police station where she met with them. She chanted "Justice Now" alongside them. And then took questions about issues like wearing body cameras and minority hiring in her department. But throughout the peaceful protests, there were definitely two factions there. There was a group that wanted the nonviolent protest, who wanted to engage local police in conversation. And then there was another more hostile group who clearly wanted to take more aggressive action. At one point, the two groups broke off and the peaceful march headed into the downtown where the more hostile group, I guess I would describe them as, headed toward the outlet mall on sort of the outskirts of town. And they arrived there to find that surrounded and blocked off by police. So then much of that group headed into Aurora's downtown, where they began looting. They set three police cars on fire and burned other buildings. And in response, police began firing tear gas and rubber bullets into the crowd.
Wow. And thank you for correcting me. I have your story right in front of me. I don't know why I said the mayor. It does say the police chief.
He was there too.
Yeah. Okay. And Kelsey, I want to ask you about, where did you start out covering this weekend? I know you covered one in Edwardsville. Can you take us to the scene there?
Sure. So, the weekend in the Metro East really started off on Friday night with people going back to the restaurants where, you know, streets were shut down and people were enjoying the nice weather. But that was really juxtaposed with the protests that began in the Metro East on Saturday. One of the first ones was in East St. Louis, where a group of faith-based protesters were out mourning the loss of those in the Black community who have died of COVID-19, and also protesting the death of George Floyd. And then that, you know, that led into Sunday in Edwardsville, where between 250 and 300 people turned out in Edwardsville, which is a predominantly white community. Which I talked to a resident who grew up in Edwardsville, and he said he had never seen anything like it in his hometown. The demonstration was peaceful. There were no visible uniformed police officers there, although some of the protesters speculated that there was plainclothes officers there. But it was peaceful, and I talked to the police chief in Edwardsville, and he told me that those protesters were welcome to stay there as long as they wanted to have their voices heard. And that's what they did. There were a couple of instances where people driving by shouted some obscenities, and the protesters, a couple, threw water bottles at their cars. But the organizers of the protests quickly shut that down and reminded people to stay calm and to stay peaceful, and that's what they did. And we expect more protests in the Metro East, potentially throughout the week, and very likely next weekend as well, this coming weekend.
And so there wasn't, I mean, what sort of interactions did you see, Kelsey, in terms of between police and protesters? I mean, in some places we were seeing reports of tear gas and rubber bullets being used. Did anything like that happen in Metro East?
That was not the case in the Metro East, although across the river in Ferguson, you did see tear gas being deployed against demonstrators on Saturday night, where demonstrators gathered in front of the Ferguson police station. And even then, there weren't any arrests. There was tear gas deployed against them, but it largely remained peaceful. And then I think there were only 6 arrests last night in Ferguson Sunday night. So in the Metro East, they remain peaceful. In Ferguson, Missouri, there was some violence and some destruction. But as far as the Metro East, things remain pretty calm.
Yeah. And of course, just reminding listeners who probably don't need the reminder, but Ferguson is where Michael Brown was killed, 6, 7 years ago now, and kicking off the sort of nationwide Black Lives Matter protests and movement. Stacey, I wonder, you know, we've heard, obviously, these protests are taking place amid a pandemic. I wonder, was that a concern among any of the protesters or anybody on site? Or is that something that people just put out of their mind? This is too urgent of a thing, and people kind of, you know, are setting that aside for now.
Well, I'll tell you whose mind it was on, and that was the business owners who've been out of, you know, who've been closed for 2 months during this pandemic, and they were set to reopen if they hadn't just reopened on Friday. And now one business owner said, I lost 2 months of business, and it's going to take another two months to get this store back and running again, if I can get it running again at all. It's also, you know, officials have mentioned Governor Pritzker asked yesterday for people who participated in the protests, both the peaceful ones and the unrest later, to quarantine them, self-quarantine, the next several days. And another fallout, in Aurora was they closed COVID testing today. Aurora had one of the regional testing sites that was open to anybody who said they had symptoms, and now people who have symptoms can't go get tested at that site. So yeah, there's definitely a domino effect that's connected to the pandemic.
And just about a minute left, but Stacey, I wonder if we're talking about this you know, protests. Is there more to come? And I think what I think is interesting, I lost my train of thought there for a second, is we're used to seeing protests in big cities, places like mm-hmm. downtown Chicago, certainly after Laquan McDonald was killed a number of years ago. But I don't think people are as used to seeing it in the suburbs. Is this unusual in your experience?
I mean, this level of violence is definitely unusual, this level of looting. And it wasn't just Aurora. There were other North Riverside, which is closer to the city, and Waukegan, which is north of the city. They both had violent unrest last night. And I think there are concerns. A lot of suburbs shut down last night as they were trying to reopen. So I don't think police believe that they've escaped danger yet.
Okay. Stacey St. Clair is a reporter with the Chicago Tribune. We also spoke with Kelsey Landis from the Belleville News Democrat. Thank you both so much for taking time out of your day to speak with us.
Thank you for having me.
You are listening to The 21st. Coming up after the break, newsrooms around the country are starting with temporary pay cuts and furloughs to try and weather this storm of a pandemic. But now some are closing up shop entirely as their work is needed more than ever. That conversation after a short break on The 21st. Stay with us.